Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to By Yahweh's Design. I'm your host, Pastor Dan. Today is the 19th day of April, year 2017, and we've entitled today's program, Chaos Everywhere. Before we begin, we do dedicate this program to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, who is the Great I Am. We also dedicate this program to our Holy Remnant, or His Holy Remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the program. As a matter of fact, I've been having some very interesting conversations of late with our cousins over in the Misty Isles. Some very fascinating things going on in this crazy mixed-up world. We do have a website for anybody that's interested. We have information there, contact information, also donation button on the homepage if you feel so led. And that website is www.pastordan.net. And again, we do thank our listeners and our supporters. And again, it is also good to be back on Eurofolk Radio as I'm trying to figure out what's causing the clicking noise here to come through, but I apologize for that. Anyway, it's good to be back. And tonight there is no scheduled guest. There may be a few folks give me a buzz here in a little bit that are going to join us in this discussion of chaos everywhere. But I think I know what the problem is. Okay. That is the chat room here at Eurofolk Radio, so I will close that. Don't need to have that annoyance coming through. A few quotes here, then we're going to get into the main body of our discussion. Again, that is chaos everywhere, but I think we have our caller here, so hold on just a second. Hello?
You ready to
race
some
home radio? We're live right now, buddy. Okay. Well, this is Randy in Michigan. Randy, go ahead. You're on the air.
Well, we definitely have a lot of things going on around in the news, don't we?
Yeah, I would say the amount of chaos that we've got going on today is, you know, almost deafening.
Yeah, I mean, out there, I forgot the city, but there was something recently out there in California with the religion of peace striking again. Last name was Muhammad, killing white people out there.
Yeah, I've been on the road, so I didn't read up a whole lot on that, but I did hear about it.
And I was a little shocked that in some of the news articles I've been reading, they've actually admitted that this is some sort of a hate crime. And I was like, wow, we're actually starting to get mainstream media to call stuff like that a hate crime. I mean, I remember back in 2007 when we went and had a rally in Knoxville, Tennessee for the two white victims, Shannon Christian and Christopher Newsom, when we you know, called the hypocrisy out on that crime, you know, it was a black-on-white crime, and we called it a hate crime. You know, everybody, you know, all the media and the police and all the establishment people were trying to convince us that, oh, this had nothing to do with race. Well, they didn't fool us.
No, of course not. But then again, that's the job of the media and those in charge, is to suppress the truth and to cover for the, you know, the evil ones or the notorious ones or the criminals, because that's all by design, right, Randy? I mean, that's the intention right now, is to create this chaos, because they said it a long time ago. That order would come from chaos. Well, what they didn't tell you is that they're going to be the ones that bring about the chaos.
Yeah, let me ask you about this, because, I mean, there's just so much in the news. We see the internet and social media aspect. We see a lot of this in the news, and it's the internet and free speech has been actually under attack for quite some time. I know the FTC has been doing a number of things over the years that I've been looking at, but I just want to touch on this. You know, there's that black guy in Cleveland that was using Facebook Live and, you know, live broadcast, walking up to another black guy and just opening the fire on the guy right in the head. I mean, but, you know, using social media to do this, now we see social media under attack, and who knows what kind of controls we're going to try to put on social media now because of that.
Well, yeah, we're being exposed to a scripted event. You know, this is all staged politics. You know, some of the insiders told us a long time ago that everything in politics happens for a reason. Nothing happens for by accident, and that everything in politics is basically a stage performance. So they warned us, and that's one reason why, Randy, they don't feel any remorse or regret for the hate and discontent, the murder, everything. They feel okay because they told us ahead of time, Randy.
Yeah, let me ask you about this, Pastor Dan. A lot of times, you know, we hear, like, liberals, Democrats, communists, God, they got, like, a thousand different names they call themselves. So I think I guess those are just a couple of names that they use. I hope I'm not leaving anything out there. Yeah, liberal, Democrat, communist, you know, that, those are people that I'm referring to. Now, a lot of times, they want to, I think there's been some cases where they've actually sued gun manufacturers. You know, they try to blame the gun manufacturer for, you know, bad people doing bad things with guns. I'm sure you've heard about some of these cases and lawsuits.
Yeah, I have, yeah.
Right, so I want to ask you this, Pastor Dan. So with that way of thinking, I wonder if these liberals are going to sue Facebook for allowing this guy to use Facebook Live to execute this other black guy. You know, that wouldn't that be interesting? But of course, they won't ever do that because, you know, Facebook is ran by their people, the liberal type people. But I just think it'd be interesting to actually sue Facebook and let's say, hey, if these liberals want to blame gun manufacturers, then we want to blame Facebook Live for allowing this execution to take place on their media platforms.
Yeah, that would be interesting. That's for sure.
Yeah, that was just something I was thinking about while I was going down the road. Just kind of like, wouldn't that be interesting? Let's blame Facebook.
Well, yeah, exactly. Now that I have you on the air, Randy, I wanted to ask you, I was going to go into this as part of basically a monologue, but doesn't it seem to you that the amount of angst and anxiety and depression and concern about the world around us is at an all-time high right now? Does it seem that way to you, that people are just like on edge all the time?
I think even more so now. I mean, I've been on your broadcast, you know, off and on for quite some time, and I've even expressed some of my concerns about President Donald Trump. And, you know, I see a lot of people that really, you know, like a lot about what Donald Trump had to say, even now having their doubts about it. I mean, you can find, and just like any politician, right, you can find videos of Donald Trump saying he's not in favor of gay marriage. And then he is in favor of gay marriage. He's all about America first, and you know, he's not about globalism. Now, he's going around the world doing what other globalists do, and it just, you know, he's in favor of getting congressional approval for wars, and then he launches wars without congressional approval. I mean, what a flip-flopper, man. I had high expectations of Donald Trump, but I was also cautious of. He's turned out to be a real
flip-flopper
like the rest. That's my opinion.
Well, that's an indication of who he really is. When they fishtail and flip-flop, it's typical politician, typical bureaucrat, typical of what's in Washington. You know, he billed himself as not part of the crowd, not the typical run-of-the-mill in Washington. And yet he came in through a different door, and in effect, he's exactly what Washington's all about, which is talking out of both sides of your mouth while the country goes to hell. So, and some people say, well, no, he's trying to do good. Well, where's the evidence? You know, Christ told us to judge them by their fruit. And that means things that we can witness, we can see, and we can investigate, and we can ascertain for ourselves. We don't need the news media or even Donald Trump tweeting to tell us what the truth is. We can determine that ourselves. So where's the fruit? I keep hearing about all the good things. Where's the fruit? I also hear in some sectors we hear that, you know, things are being done in a certain way to protect us or whatever. But, hey, we're in trouble. How many more of us have to be murdered? How many more babies have to be murdered? How many more children have to be sold off as sex slaves and killed in snuff films before we're going to start this? I mean, we're already in trouble. Why wait? Why worry about a little bit of pandemonium or whatever if you're really going to do something good? Because my opinion is, if
you... You're touching on all kinds of great things. Well, I wasn't trying to interrupt you there, but you mentioned the baby. And that's, I want to talk about the baby here for a minute. Because, you know, they say that some still, from what I've gathered from different news, they say, you know, Donald Trump has had some sort of change of heart because he's seen these pictures of these babies over in Syria. You know, this bad guy gassed his own people. I don't want to really get into that part of it because it's just, I think the whole thing is ridiculous. You know, we blew one of gas for all people. Any gas? I don't know, folks. I don't know. Because the mainstream media is putting out so much information. Who knows what to believe, right? But I will say this, okay? Everybody's so concerned about these babies now over in Syria, and I get that. Now, we're a compassionate people. But look, I mean, if you're going to be motivated to do something based on pictures, what about all those videos that got released exposing Planned Parenthood, showing their, I mean, we've already known their baby, the body parts are being, you know, their babies are being butchered. It's been shown that their body parts have been sold. Oh, but the politicians aren't motivated to do anything about that, are they? Of course not.
Well, what? Yeah, what did Christ tell us was a sign of a Pharisee? He said, "Beware the leaven of the Pharisees; it's their hypocrisy." So, right there in I think it's in Romans, but it's in the New Testament. He obviously gave us a hint of how to tell who you're dealing with, and so he said, "Beware the leaven of the Pharisees," which is their hypocrisy. So we have a glaring,
absolutely,
a glaring fruit. In other words, if their fruit shows them to be hypocrites, then we're dealing with an enemy. We're not dealing with a friend.
You know, when I was in high school, I had to learn all about World War II. And boy, that opens up all kinds of worms. You know, they basically taught us Hitler's the bad guy. 6 million Jews were executed. 6 million, but they say that over 50 billion babies have been butchered and have their body. So we had to learn about 6 million. That wasn't even during my lifetime, but during 1 million babies. I've been on this earth almost 39 years, but a lot of babies have. More than 6 million babies have been butchered during my lifetime. During my lifetime, folks. And all these politicians, you know, they want to run their... You know, every election cycle, man, it's the same thing. They want to repeal Roe versus Wade. They want to repeal Obamacare. Man, it's all talk. Donald Trump, during the election, had said about all these other politicians, well, they're all talk and no action. Yeah. You know what? We're learning about Donald Trump. He wants to sit there and go to war with Syria over babies, but yet, guess what? Nothing's happened to Planned Parenthood. Nothing.
Well, again, hypocrisy, okay?
Party of evil.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, it reminds me, we got into a discussion. I was on a road trip over the past week, and it's quite interesting. that would bring up a whole different area of discussion. But we got talking about the very thing that you and I are discussing now, and I mentioned the fact of Pavlov's experiment. You remember the dogs and what Pavlov did, the researcher, and you know he rang a bell and he would feed the dogs, so that was a conditioned response. He would ring the bell and then feed them, and eventually he could just ring the bell and he would not feed them. And they would salivate and they would wag their tails and get the same response even though he had no food. Well, he also had part of the experiment was to come in and shut the light off, turn the light off in the room and beat the dog. So he did that until he got to the point where he would come into the room and turn the light off and the dog would run to the corner of his cage and shake in terror. Without even having a stick to beat him with, without even being in his cage. So most people heard.
Sounds like the IRS.
Well, most people have heard about that part of Pavlov's experiment. But here's the part that nobody talks about a whole lot. What happened when he came into the room, turned off the light, and blew the whistle? All right. Well, here's the kicker. The dog just stood there. It didn't know if it should be panicking and in terror or if it should be happy. So it did nothing. It just sat there. And right now, the average white man in this world is Pavlov's dogs. He's being beaten by the media. He's being beaten by the feminists. He's being beaten by the Jews. He's being beaten by society. And in many cases, they've even turned the wife and children against him. He's being beaten.
Yep.
At the same time, he's got Donald Trump soothing his ego and telling him what a great job he's doing and he's going to work for him. He's got the church trying to tell him, just be calm. Christ's going to help us, blah, 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 blah. So he's getting both stimuli from different ends of the spectrum. And what's the result? The white men just stand there. They're not doing anything. They just stand there. They're not sure what to do, just like Pavlov's dog. They're getting all this alt media and all these hints that things are going to go right and everything else. So they're just going to stand there. They don't do anything to affect a meaningful change, because just like the David Manning, the black preacher in Harlem, he said this in a speech during a sermon. He gave this this announcement to the black congregation. He said, I'm going to tell you something. This country is on its way out. And if the white people don't rise up and take this country back, take control of this country back, we're all doomed. He said, you might think it's really great that we got all these blacks, browns, and Hindus, and Jews, and everything else in here. He goes, but they didn't make this country. It's the white people that built this country. And if they don't take it back and fix what's wrong, we're all going to go down with the ship, guys. And I thought that was probably one of the best speeches I'd heard by anybody, especially considering it was a black man that gave it. But he's an educated black man. He's got a PhD, so he's no dummy. But he gave that speech to his black congregation. He said, I know you're not going to be happy to hear this, but this is the facts. This ship of state is sinking. And if the people that built the ship don't take back control of the ship, we're all going to go down with it. Would you agree with that assessment?
Well, absolutely. What happens when the welfare checks stop and they don't have that free government money no more? They're going to resort to what they do, tribal warfare.
Well, there's going to be pandemonium and chaos when the goodies are withheld, but that they did that on purpose. They wanted it that way. They know people can be easily enticed with free things and goodies, just like Christ was tempted by Satan with what? The delicacies of this world, the glitz and the glitter and the fancy foods and the sweet and delicate things that the scripture refers to. Those were tempted of Christ even, and Christ would, of course, said, take it and shove it, I don't want it. But how many of our people have that kind of intestinal fortitude? How many of our people love the truth and love integrity and honesty and doing the right thing enough that they'll turn down the same temptations that Christ turned down? Not too many of them, it seems. Are you still there, Randy?
Yeah. I'm just consuming all that information you just said.
Oh. But, it is amazing.
You've been at this a long time. I mean, I've been at it for quite a few years trying to wake people up. And we woke up a lot of people along the way, but there's still a lot of people out there that turned a blind eye to the truth, man. They want what looks good and tastes good, and that's all they care about. And I know we've all got people in our family just like that. We've got people all around us that are, they care more about, the sports, what's going on with sports, who's winning, what team's winning, and they care more about that stuff than the truth. They want to be preoccupied with things that really just, frankly, don't matter.
Unfortunately, you're right. They don't seek the truth. They don't seem to have much interest in the truth.
To be honest with you, Pastor Dan, it's kind of, deep down inside, I'm going to be honest. I had high expectations of Donald Trump, and I kind of wanted the easy way out. If we could just get this one man to be elected, man, then maybe we can save this country instead of having to to really go to war and really fight to take it back. And deep down, I just, you know, it's just easier. You know, I wanted the easy way out. But then as, you know, time goes on and we see him doing the same things that, you know, somebody like Obama or even Bush did, you just, you know, that reminder, it's like, no, we're not going to be able to just put one man in there to fix all these things. We're going to have to take this country back ourselves. I mean, what choice do we have?
We don't have a choice, Randall. No, and it's not going to happen when you put a man in charge who is kowtowing and worshiping Satan's kids that created the swamp. I mean, think how ludicrous that is. You're going to drain the swamp, but you're going to fill your cabinet with the same people that built the swamp. So right there was our first indication.
I mean, look who his daughter married. I mean, need any more? I mean, geez.
Well, again, that's my point.
He's one of those guys.
Yeah, that's my right. He has said all along that America is here to defend Israel. Since when, Donald? Since when did the founding fathers say that we're here to defend that bastard nation over there, full of vipers? The very vipers that George Washington and Ben Franklin, who said that we should have a constitutional amendment to keep the Jews out. Because they were part of a generation that knew what the Jews had done to the European nations over the centuries. And so when they came here for a fresh start, they said, don't let that vermin come back over here and do to the colonies. And then when it formed a country, don't let them do to our country what they've done to the European nations all through the centuries. So, you know, he claims to be someone who loves America, and yet the two greatest figures that have something to do with the starting of this country, Washington and Benjamin Franklin and even Thomas Jefferson, they all said, keep those bastards out. They're liars and deceivers, exactly as Christ said. When did we become so stupid we don't understand the spoken and written word? When did we become so stupid and cowardly that we watch these people destroy nation after nation after nation, and they've come in here and they are destroying our nation, and we're going to turn around and let these sycophants and butt kissers like Trump and the rest of them sit there and praise the very people that Christ condemned? And if you study history at all, you know who the hell caused all the trouble. You know, it's the old saying, the truth stands on its own, but it takes the force of government to promote a lie. And what lie does government promote thanks to the Jewish influence? The Holocaust. Why does the government promote it? Because the Jews want it. That's why. And why do the Jews want it? Because it turns off the brains and hearts of the American people because they think it's the truth. And so that we won't do any investigation, we won't do any critical thinking when it comes to what they do because, oh my God, they're victims. Oh, those poor Jews. Really? Just like you said. I wonder who's behind the abortion mill industry. Who's making all that profit off of selling of the baby parts? I wonder who that might be, Randy. To the tune of close to, I bet we're approaching 60 million, which is 10 times. For every Jew they claim died, which we all know that's a lie, but even if it were true, for every Jew that they claim was exterminated, we've exterminated 10 babies. And that doesn't even count the people exterminated in the sex slave trade and the pedophilia. That's just aborted children. 10 times as many. And these hypocrites bounce around and scream and yell at how much they care about our children and they care about honesty and, oh my God, they gas those children. You bastards don't care about children. You don't really care about anything. The only thing you care about is the money in your pocket and staying up on top over us. And Randy, you said it. The only thing that's going to change this country and this world is the white man rising up and joining together and making it happen.
I mean, if they really cared about the children, why can't Donald Trump order 59 Tomahawk missiles against abortion clinics? So the children, right?
Well, why don't we send 59 Tomahawks into the bastard nation of Itzalai, since it's the source of the pedophilia, the sex slave trade ring around the world, the snuff films where they kill the participants in it, or at least some of the participants, the unfortunate children, they are the center of it all. They are the center of the central banking that has enslaved virtually every nation on this earth. Why aren't 59 Tomahawks going in there and ending the problem? The very people who are the bane of everything good in this world. Do you know how much peace there would be in this world if he'd send 59 Tomahawks into that piece of trash country over there and we rounded up every one of those bastards and put them in prison and put them on trial for treason here? Dual citizen traitors that they are? Think about how fast you'd have peace. Think about how fast your country would be restored, Randy.
I think the low government approval would jump to an all-time high if they did something like that.
Right. The only people who would disapprove are the libtards, the snowflakes, the people that's got an IQ of about 75 to 80 that believe the garbage over the mainstream media, because everybody with a brain that even begins to function has figured out the mainstream media is nothing but a tool to be used by these power elite, whatever name you want to give to them, the cabal, etc., blah, 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 blah. It comes down to a group of people with Jewish shekels in their pocket doing the bidding of the Jew so that they can keep the shekels coming. So really, that's what matters. You know, it's like they said a long time ago, you want to solve the problems in this world? And we're talking about the whole world now. You want to solve the problem? It's really quite easy. Follow the money, as my grandfather told me when I was a little boy. Follow the money. It will take you to the head of the beast. And what's the head of the beast? Edom, Esau, the Pharisees. Today, they're known as Zionist Jews. They're the head. I mean, you look at it. George Soros, with all his billions of dollars, what's he doing? Funding chaos and disruption of normal life in this world. Why? Because out of chaos, they get what? Control? More money? Why do you think Dr. Jandar gave a great seminar recently as to why he just left the medical profession? Because he gave speeches to congressmen, he gave speeches to the American Medical Association and fellow doctors, and he said, what's wrong with us? Why don't we stress prevention? Oh, that's right, because there's no money in prevention. So who's in charge of the American medical mafia, pretty much Jewish at the top. Jewish influence, that's for sure. Why? Because typical of the vipers that they are, as Christ condemned them to be, they love money. They don't care about your misery. They don't care about the cancer. They don't care about the autism that's being brought about by vaccines. Excellent program going on right now, by the way. There's seven series webinars being put together by Ty Higgins to get to the truth of vaccines. One of the best middle-of-the-road productions, having some of the pros and the cons. But as he said, we're not pro, we're not con vaccine. We're pro safety of our children. All we're trying to say is, why can't we have an honest, open discussion about these vaccines? Are they safe or are they not? And then there's all kinds of testimony, of course, to the fact that they're not safe, because the government has even formed a trust fund to pay out the parents of children who have had adverse effects from vaccines. You know how much money that trust fund has paid out already, Randy?
I'm not sure, but didn't Congress give them some sort of protection where they couldn't be sued or something?
Yeah,
in the last couple of years,
everybody involved with the vaccine industry is exempt from litigation. You cannot sue them. They could literally put arsenic in your vaccine and kill you outright, and you couldn't do a damn thing about it. But that's a different issue. Yes, they did. They passed legislation that said, right, You cannot sue them for killing or damaging you yourself or your children and family. You can't sue them. So how about that for an absolutely evil thing to do? But they have this trust fund. That's a separate thing. They developed this trust fund. Every vaccine that's administered, 75 cents per vaccination that's in it, like the MMR. So that would be $1.50, 2.25. 75 cents per the vaccinating agent goes to this trust fund. That trust fund has paid out to families $3.9 billion. So that's $3,900 million. That's a lot of money, Randy, for something that we're told is completely safe.
You know, it's my guess that you probably, the reason why they're probably exempt from a lawsuit, my guess is what they're going to try to claim is, you know, if you get these vaccinations and something bad happens, they're going to claim, well, nobody made you get the shot. You know, you did this voluntarily. So really, you know, they'll just claim you did this to yourself.
You know what their reason was because if everybody sued them for doing something wrong to them, first of all, they couldn't afford to stay in business. That's what they threatened the congressman with. The vaccine manufacturers said, it will no longer be profitable for us, so we'll stop making them. Then what are you going to do? As if we need to have them. They're really ineffective.
Right.
I'm sorry, they really are. And yet you've got libtards and snowflakes and completely moronic people running around with this absolutely asinine opinion that everybody should be forced to be vaccinated. You know, you know, on the onset or on the face of it, that is stupid for a couple reasons. One, if you want to go get your damn vaccines, that's fine. But if you vaccinated yourself and your children, then what the hell are you worried about? Why should I put that poison in my body? If you're worried about you and you vaccinated and the things work, then what do you care whether or not I get it? So that right on the face of it is stupid. The second thing is there's plenty of evidence that these things are not safe and they're causing all kinds of illnesses and things that weren't even maybe a couple cases in 10,000 years ago. And now it's becoming pandemic. When are people going to be interested in the truth, Randy? That's what I want to know. When are our people going to be interested in the truth? I mean, even if it hurts. Even if they got to change their damn life and their lifestyles, the way they eat, the way they exercise, the way they think, when are we going to care about the truth, Randy?
I totally agree. And I see people from time to time on social media, you know, they'll put on there that, you know, they got, like, let's say the flu vaccination. And I kid you not, man, it's when you see somebody post that, it's almost guaranteed within a few days to a week, that person comes down and gets sick of it. And I know people that get this flu shot within a few days to a week. They come down sick. Coincidence?
No, I saw it happen to me when I was in the United States Air Force. I never got the flu. The whole time I was raised on the farm, I drank spring water, absolutely pure, ice cold, fresh, sweet tasting spring water. And I was raised with garden vegetables and homegrown cattle for our meat and occasionally some venison that we got off our farmlands as well. So I was even a colonel in the Air Force when he examined me before some surgery. He said, you're one of the healthiest guys I ever met. And yet the Air Force forced me to get a flu shot. I never even had the flu. They forced me to get a flu shot. And you know what? I got the flu twice a year, every year, from that time on. Every time the seasons changed, from the cold of winter to the warmer weather, I got it. And then we went from the warmer weather to the cold weather, I'd get it. And it usually lasted 5 to 7 days. That's how severe it was. Every year, twice a year, from the time I got that damn shot. Now, how did I get over it? Because I don't get that anymore. When I went natural, when I went to learn about naturopathy and the natural ways of things, and I purged the unclean foods out of me, and I purged the heavy metals out of me using things like raw apple cider vinegar, In other words, I repented. I changed the way I thought. I changed my eating habits. I started reading labels. I drank nothing but bottled water. I've done that since the 70s. Since the 70s, I stopped drinking municipal water. And there's a benefit for that. The benefit was that even with that damn shot in me, eventually my body was able to rectify itself and overcome the effects of that poison they put in my system. But you see, most people would never want to do that. I can't tell you how many times I've talked to people about what I've done and what I've seen other people do and the great effects. You know what the first thing they say, Randy? Even if what you're saying is true, it's too much work. How about that? We're talking about their own health and their own longevity. The first thing out of their mouth is that's too much work.
Well, that's, you know, somebody like that, I mean, you just really can't help. I guess dust your feet off and move on.
Well, that's about where I'm at with us on the spiritual level for our people at this point, Randy. Like you said, I've been doing this for 17 and a half years. I know you've been doing it in your way for probably the same amount of time. Many people out there that I know have been beating the bushes and sounding the alarm. And the sheep, which is a good name for our people because they are sheep, they just don't get it. They just don't seem to care. They just don't get it. The fixes for everything that's wrong are easy. They're actually easy. What's hard is doing it. Finding the solution to our problems is probably one of the easiest things we could do. All we got to do is listen to the words of Christ and believe them and act upon them. And guess what? Everything is fixed. The hard part is getting anybody interested in doing anything. They want somebody else to do it for them. That's why Trump, as you said, and very clearly, why did they support Trump? Because it would allow them to go back to work and stay in their homes and ride their boat on the water and go skiing, go fishing, watch their reality television, and everything would be fixed because all they had to do was vote for Trump and then turn their brains back off and go back to what they were doing. That's an easy fix.
Easy way out.
That's an easy way out. And what's the Bible say about
that? Let me ask you about this, Pastor. You know, I've seen this on Facebook lately. You know, people are trying to, you know, well, here's what I'm seeing about Donald Trump. They're saying, well, you know, on the stuff that we agree with, we got to support him. But on the things that we disagree with, you know, we've got to call him out on it. What's your take on people making this point?
What's the question again?
I see people on Facebook saying, well, you know, we know Donald Trump's not perfect, but, you know, we got to support him on the things that we agree with him on and the things that we disagree with him on. You know, we got to call him out on it. What is your take on people that seem to have this kind of wishy-washy type, you know, way of thinking with Donald Trump?
Well, it just goes back to everything we've been saying. Everybody wants the easy way out, so they're going to work very, very hard to make excuses and apologies for him, because as long as they can convince themselves that he's an okay guy, they can go back to sleep, go back to bed, keep on doing what they're doing. They don't sacrifice any time, any effort. They don't sacrifice any of their possessions. You know, the Founding Fathers said it was the enervating struggle for liberty that actually brings you alive. In fact, a Navy friend of mine and I were just talking about that one day. He says, you know, when I felt the most alive is when I went camping with my brothers and my dad up in Alaska, and there were brown bears all over the place around up there. He said, so whenever you went outside the cabin, there was a chance you were going to encounter one of those big bears. He said, but at the same time, I never felt more alive, because it's a challenge. It's a challenge. Life is supposed to be a challenge. It's not supposed to be easy. There was one guy, his two sons, and the brother was talking to his other brother about his two teenager sons. He says, why don't you let those boys do what we did? You know, we used to climb trees. We used to fight. We'd go down to the creek. We would do all kinds of, we'd play war and ride bicycles down mountainsides and whatever. He said, but your boys, you don't let them out. And you know what he said? He goes, well, they could get hurt. Well, yeah, that's the whole point. That's how you learn. At the same time, though, when you find out that you can overcome, then there's a sense of accomplishment, a sense of being alive. But we've taken that away from our children. I think we lost Randy. Hold on a minute. Go ahead, Randy.
Oh, sorry about that. Paul dropped. I'm traveling today.
Oh, that's okay. That happens. But you see what I mean? We've tried to protect our children from life. It reminds me of the story of the butterfly in the cocoon. And the woman, a typical woman, you know, she's soft-hearted and sees the butterfly struggling to get out of the cocoon. So she goes over and rips it open so that the butterfly can get out. But the butterfly fell to the ground as a kind of like a blob without any distinct form, and it died. Well, the farmer came over and she was saying, you know, this is disheartening. I killed a butterfly. I didn't mean to. I was trying to help it. And the farmer said, well, ma'am, I hate to tell you this, but in God's perfect will, the butterfly struggling to get out of that cocoon is what forces the blood from the body into the membranes of the wings. And it's the forcing of that blood throughout its body and wings that makes it form into a butterfly. So when you tried to make life easier by taking away him working to get through the cocoon wall, you actually killed it because it didn't become an actual butterfly. And I thought about that when I heard that story. I said, you know what? That's what we're doing as a society. We are babying our children to the point where they will never develop into the beings that God intended us to be. They'll never learn what it's like to get muddy and dirty and to fight and to make up. They'll never learn what it's like to be challenged by life. Challenged by the fact that, yeah, if you do it wrong, you could get hurt. But if you do it right, there's great reward. It's just like when we played sports when I was a boy. If you couldn't hit the baseball, the coach wasn't going to put you in. If you couldn't throw the baseball right, the coach wasn't going to put you in. In fact, he wasn't even going to pick you for the team. I remember going to tryouts for Little League when I was a boy. And that was the whole idea of tryouts. You know, they were going to pick the ones that could do it. But here's the part that they leave out. The very first time I went out, I wasn't picked. But that didn't mean I didn't keep working at it. My dad would throw balls. I would swing the bat, learn to hit. And then all of a sudden, the coach of the Little League team that turned me down, one of his players got hurt. And he said, Dan, would you like to take over his spot? I said, well, sure. From that point on, I never had another problem getting on anything from summer league all the way through high school and teener league. But the point of it is, it didn't make me quit. It didn't make me feel bad. I mean, a little bad I didn't get picked, but it just meant you keep trying and wait for the next opportunity. Today, we want to give awards for participation. How can you be any more stupid than that? I mean, come on. An award for participation? How does that encourage excellence? You see, not everybody can be excellent. When I was in grade school, we had a class for the people that excelled in English and math and all that. Then we had other classes for everybody in the middle. And then they had another series of classes for the people that were pretty damn slow. Because they understood it that you can't put everybody together. Because the slower people keep the ones that could excel down. And you put pressure on the guys on the bottom to keep up with the guys in the middle. It's okay to be different. It's okay to have a different curriculum for the academically advanced, so to speak. It's okay to be middle of the road. It's okay even to be a little slow and need a little extra help. We all have something we can do, but we can't get anything fixed if we're going to sit around and play this political correctness garbage where you're not allowed to say it, you're not allowed to make them feel bad, you're not allowed to hurt their damn feelings. We're destroying ourselves, Randy. And all this stuff is alien to the white man. This is alien thinking to the Anglo-Saxon white man. Why are we buying this bullshit? That's what I want to know. Why are we buying it?
I mean, look at all these other cultures we've allowed to come into our country. Look how all these major cities have been destroyed, literally, and that's where the highest crime rates are. And they just happen to be majority non-white now. Is this all just a coincidence?
No, it's nothing by coincidence. I think everything happens there's a term for that. Causatory, I think that's the word. Everything has a cause, everything. And that includes disease, societal disease, health disease, everything that's outside the norm, everything that violates God's principles. There's a cause. It's not by accident. There's an agent. There's an intelligence that's working to commit this evil, which is exactly what the scriptures are warning us about. He said you will have...
And they always blame us.
Well, he said you'll have wolves.
I remember the...
Go ahead.
Remember the water crisis in Flint, Michigan, which, by the way, the city of majority non-white. But, of course, you know, they blame the water issues on the white man. They made a racial issue out of it. Instead of taking responsibility for their own actions, being incompetent in running a city, they blame the white man for it. The white man had nothing to do with it.
Well, of course not. But if we're stupid enough to take the blame and to let them get away with that crap, then why shouldn't they? That's just like when they attacked the Confederate flags and tried to rip them all down. You know what the next one is on the list to be taken down?
American flags.
The Stars and Stripes. That's exactly right.
Yep.
That's now a racist symbol.
They keep chipping away at us.
Because it is a racist symbol. America was founded by white people. These people hate white people. Like Oprah Winfrey was said something on one of her shows about, you know, you want to get rid of racism? Kill all the old white people. Now, how's that for a multimillionaire in our society? Who does she think made her rich? Well, besides the Jews, of course. The Jews put her up there for a reason, and that's part of the reason. Why do they put their money behind any of these black athletes and black talk show hosts, etc.? They do it because they're being used as useful idiots. All right? Useful idiots. Because once the Jew gets what he wants, guess who's going to get thrown under the bus? Hey, Oprah, I hope you're listening. And all the rest of you morons out there that do the bidding of these Jews. Your day's coming. And I hope you people in uniform are listening. Your day's coming.
I'll take everything she's got, just like they did with O.J. Simpson.
They will use them, and then they will destroy them. It's like we've said many times. All you got to do is study the history of the communist movements in this world. They always have the same MO. They go find the useful idiots, pump them up with their egos, pat them on the back, fill their pockets full of shekels. Then the useful idiot goes out and does whatever he's told to do. Look at the United States and look at Congress. Look at the Pentagon, full of useful idiots. All right? But what do the communists do with the useful idiots once they attain what they want, which is complete control? They execute the useful idiots. You know, I said that a long time ago, Randy. People say, aren't you afraid, Dan, that they'll come for you? They might do this, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, that could happen. But why be afraid of it? I said, the people that should be afraid are the people doing the bidding of these diabolical creatures, because they keep an eye on those people doing their bidding much more than they do me. they don't really fear me because I'm just a little fish in the sea. And they figure nobody that they care about is going to listen to me because they've got the media. And they've got the mouthpieces in the Washington, D.C. area. And they got the mouthpieces over at the Pentagon. They got the mouthpieces in the major institutions and in the propaganda mills of the mainstream media. So why in the world would they worry about me? Because who's going to listen to me? But the people that really need to worry are the very people we just talked about, Washington, Pentagon, major media, that are doing the bidding of these people because you know what? They've got evidence. Look at Vince Foster. Look at all the string of the people killed by the Clintons in order to keep them quiet so that the evidence doesn't come out. That's the people that should be sleeping with one eye open, Randy. If they're in bed with them, what did Christ say? You know, if you lay down with dogs, you get up with fleas. Laying down with dogs.
There's no real reason to be afraid of death. I mean, we're all going to die one day anyways.
Well, that's my point. Christ made it very, very clear. If you're afraid of death, then you don't have any faith. You don't have any faith. You don't have any belief. You don't actually believe that there is a Christ. You don't believe that there's an afterlife. You don't believe that we're on this earth and below the firmament, and when we die, we just go on the other side. You have no faith. And that's the problem with the average white man today. He goes to church. A lot of them go to church. They profess to love Christ. They profess to love the truth. But do they really? Come on, Randy, you know the answer to that. Most of them are fakes. Most of them are cafeteria Christians. They pick out the verses they like and throw away the ones they don't like. Just like you do at the cafeteria.
I mean, anybody that knows me knows that I've been associated with organizations, which I don't associate with organizations anymore because after a period of time, you know, you just realize that most of these, patriot groups, whatever they want to call themselves, most of them are just lining their pockets full of money and they're a bunch of hypocrites. They're fakes.
Well, here again, the believers, and the only people I care about are the believers, all right? Because you got plenty of people taking care of the Cretans and the wicked, because that's who the Jews support. So those people got plenty of support. What I'm trying to help out and trying to guide and promote are our people, and of our people, that subset of our people that are true believers, because that's what Christ said we should be caring about, our brothers and our sisters. It's not just a racial thing, folks. I know there's a lot of National Socialists and other groups out there. It's all a racial thing. Well, it is a racial thing, but it's not just a racial thing. All right? Christ, through Yahweh and the prophets, told us that we were to prepare for this day when we would have treason amongst all of the leaders because they're all in bed with the beast. What's it say in Revelation? Does it say that some of the leaders and princes are in bed? Or does it say all of the leaders are in bed with the beast and drunk on her delicacies? Trump is drunk on the delicacies of the beast. He's not going to go against the beast. That's ridiculous. And actually, we were ridiculous for falling for it that he would. But he's pretty convincing. He's a pretty good, charismatic individual. He knows the, quote, art of the deal, doesn't he? So he sold us a bill of goods. We should just take it on the chin. All right. You got us, Donald. We believed you. You're pretty convincing. You made a few moves there to reinforce it, but when it comes down to the rubber meeting the road, you're no different than anything else in Washington, D.C., and especially when you surround yourself with the very people that the Christ himself condemned. He didn't say make a pact with them. He didn't say compromise with them. He didn't say, well, you can bring them into your family because once you do, they're going to become one of us. Oh, no, 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 no. That's not what our Father told us. He said to stay away from them and to separate them out from amongst us. So, Randy, it was pretty obvious pretty soon in the game that the Donald was playing us in the art of the deal, wasn't he?
Yeah, there's a scripture that really applies to people like Donald Trump. I believe the quote goes something like this. What profit the man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul?
Well, these people don't believe that it matters because they don't think they're going to lose. They believe their God, Lucifer, is going to take care of them. So they don't really think about that. They think that this world is all they've got, and when they die, they're either going to go with their father, Lucifer, or they're just going to become dirt in the ground, whichever path they choose to believe in. But the main thing is that it has no bearing on what they do to you and me here. Only the Christian, only those who follow Messiah are held to a higher standard by our Heavenly Father when he told us that we were to be his examples. We were to tend the garden. And that's also why he told Abraham, who was not a Jew, by the way, he was one of our ancestors. He told Abraham that what? Those that blessed him would be blessed, didn't he? Didn't he say that of the other trees, of the other races, if they blessed Abraham, in other words, if they didn't break the law, they didn't try to do evil deeds against them, but would listen and obey God's law, that they in turn would be blessed. Isn't that what that means, Randy?
I agree.
So the other races have a choice to make here too. It's not just God's people. We were told to be the administrators. That doesn't mean abusive. It doesn't mean dictators. It doesn't mean that you're able to go out and steal and rob and abuse people. No. It means you're leaders. You lead by example. And you get out there and you show them the way it can be done. This world can become a paradise, Randy. All we got to do is get our guys off their asses and get together and say that we've had enough. We're not going to listen to any more speeches. We're not going to listen to any more promises by people who are part of the cabal. What we need is that Ezekiel 37 army to rise up out of that valley of dead and dry bones.
We need to squash these cockroaches now once and for all. They've gotten away with stuff for too long. And, you know, they both political parties have played us like fools.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Hey,
And I guarantee you this, and, you know, the Republicans, okay, they're in power now. You know, and probably will be, you know, for, let's say, you know, a total of 8 years or whatever. And then it's going to shift back to Democrats. They'll have it for 8 years. Then it shifts back to Republicans. It's like a merry-go-round. But in the end, we're the ones losing because it doesn't matter which political party, they just keep stripping us of our rights.
Well, you know, it wasn't just Trump that disappointed me. I've been disappointed lately with Putin of Russia. I thought he was going to be different. I thought he was going to make a difference. And yet I just saw where he was in the It's a Lie nation, kowtowing to the Jew, praising the Jew, denouncing the German people, denouncing World War II, as if the Soviets have any room to talk of what they did. The Red Army was committed atrocities that make the Germans blush. So, you know, he's perpetuating the Holocaust. He's perpetuating the idea that the Israelis can do no wrong. If that's a fact, then Putin, just like Trump, is not going to be doing anything for us at any time. He's part of the game. He's another actor. It's all staged. Everything is staged. And nothing is going to get fixed.
Let me ask you about this, you know, because the media tries to, you know, claim that there's some sort of issue between the United States and Russia. But who's not, you know, who's not to say that? This is all just orchestrated lies to get us hating the Russians and the Russians hating us. But we all know, folks, that all these media establishment people, when the doors are closed, okay, and the cameras aren't off, they drink together, they laugh together, and they screw their own people in our own country. That's what these people do. I guarantee you that a lot of this, you know, this media pushing, like I said, Russia hating on us and us hating on Russia, I think it's all BS, and I think it's just a game that they're trying to play with us.
Well, it is a game. All these guys are players, all right? Unless they're right. going to come out and implement God's law and get rid of this whole notion that man can rule himself and create law. That's ridiculous. Isaiah 33 verse 22 makes it very clear that judge and our king, our judge, and our lawgiver is in Yahweh himself. All three. All right? None other. So unless somebody's going to present a solution that would include us obeying God's law and fulfilling Obadiah verse 18 and taking these creatures, these very creatures that Christ called vipers, because that's exactly what they are, good for nothing, vipers that are responsible for all of the innocent blood that has been shed. Notice that those are the words of the Christ. These people are responsible for all of the innocent blood. If there's no solution that includes dealing with that group of people, stripping them of their wealth, stripping them of their political power, and putting them on boats and shipping them off somewhere, isolating them from the rest of us, if it doesn't include that, then they're part of the problem, and the game will just continue to be played. Christ told us what the solution was. We just don't have enough guts to bring it to fruition. Maybe the Orientals are the ones that have more guts than we do, because they're going to form a money system that goes around the central banks and their debt money system. Now, the only question is, who is sitting at the top of this new system? If it's the same cabal, well, it's going to be the same imprisonment eventually. But if this is the group of people that are fed up with this Obadiah 18, these Zionist Khazar creatures that Christ condemned, if they're actually going to strip them of their wealth by simply going around their money system and coming up one of their own based more on biblical principles, which would be backed by gold and silver, there may be some changes coming. Maybe we're going to see what the book of Revelation tells us about the merchants doing the weeping and wailing. Maybe that will bring about the burning of Babylon in such a short period of time that, again, Revelation talks about. Wouldn't that be interesting?
I hope we're around to see it.
Oh, it's not going to be much longer, Randy.
It just seems like we've been waiting for so long, you know. I'm an impatient person, I'll admit. I want things to happen right now, you know what I mean? But it's a struggle at times, but I'm hanging in there.
Well, that's it. We have to be what? Overcomers. Isn't that what Christ said? Be overcomers. And it says, wait upon Yahweh. Wait upon the Lord, or wait upon Yahweh, because it's his timing. It's not ours. And you're right.
Right.
You know, I was looking for solutions back in the mid-80s, and I was really disappointed when it got to be the mid-90s and things hadn't happened. My God, do you know how I feel now that we're clear up into 2017 and still talking about this stuff, still looking for something to change? But here again, what's insanity? Doing the same things over and over, but thinking you're going to get a different result. We keep putting the same cabal members into governmental positions, thinking that somehow things are going to change. No, they're not, folks. Political correctness is killing us. But we keep putting the same retards in government that vote for this crap. We keep allowing them to stay in government instead of recalling them. We should have recall. Just like Michigan did years ago when I was living up there. I remember it was either Wisconsin or Michigan. Two congressmen or two state representatives had been elected, and it's within 1 month of being in office, they were voting for things that they promised they wouldn't. The people recalled them and kicked them out. That recall and referendum are part of the American way, part of the Anglo-Saxon tradition. No politician is exempt from recall and referendum. Nobody is. And the idea that vaccine companies or drug companies can be protected when they do something that brings harm? Come on, Randy. You know darn well that there's nothing biblical or moral about doing that. Whoever voted for that should be impeached or thrown out of office. And those that conceived it should be on trial for treason and possibly even for murder, because those vaccines and those pharmaceuticals, which is pharmakia in the Greek and in the New Testament, those drugs have killed people. And what's the Bible say when you murder an innocent person, Randy? What's it called? It's called murder. When you kill somebody who's innocent, has not committed a crime, you have committed murder. And what is the sentence for somebody who commits murder?
Death. And no, I'm not talking about death row.
And, you know, I've talked to people, and I'm so sick of this crap. Everything's spiritual. Well, Babylon is a spiritual condition. This is spiritual. That is spiritual. You know, we are spiritual Israel. Really? Really? Where in the Bible does it use words that make you think that? Maybe your English translation might make you think that, but not the original languages. There's nothing in them that says that it's spiritual. It's literal. Genesis 3:15 is literal. When it says, my peculiar people above all the other peoples of the earth, notice what it says. My peculiar people above all the other peoples of the earth. That's not spiritual. And plus, if you look through history, Randy, I think you'll find that if you trace the travels of the white races, the white tribes of Israel, where they went and all, that's where civilization sprang up. That's where law and order sprang up. That's where the great works of architecture and science and everything, those sprang up when our people traveled. And when we left an area and the inhabitants took over, the local inhabitants, it went to hell, as was the case in Egypt. I know, you know, maybe Egyptians don't like hearing it, but hey, guys, I got news for you. You folks did not build the pyramids. The same thing in Medo-Persia. When the dark races come into the Mediterranean and into Middle Asia there, sorry, guys, you're not the Medes and the Persians of the ancient world. Sorry, it's not you. And when they talk about what the Hebrews...
I've got a comparison I'd like to try to draw on that. It's, you know, like the people that now occupy all these big cities, you know, like all these blacks that have taken all these big cities. They didn't create it. They just took it over, and now they destroy it. Same thing.
It's the same thing. That's right. You know, it's ridiculous. But here again, you know, people will believe pretty much anything anymore. All you got to do is put it on a YouTube or throw up something on a television set, and that's all it takes. They'll believe it. There's actually black people. I've heard black people talking about Cleopatra was a black woman. I said, you got to be kidding me. I said, what'd you smoke for lunch? I said, I'm sorry, there's lots of historical information about Cleopatra, and she was anything but black. Same thing with Hannibal. The History Channel had a series talking about Hannibal, the great general of the Carthaginians that marched his army all the way to Rome. And he could have sacked Rome, and to this day, nobody knows why he didn't. But the point of it is, the History Channel had the actor portraying Hannibal was a black man. You've got to be kidding me. No wonder people are messed up.
Some people actually believe that our Heavenly Father and Creator was black, or you know, whatever other race they want to use. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Well, it is ridiculous. And, you know, here again, when are the people going to want the truth? You know, I mean, there's so few people, even in my own family and my close friends, so few people love, and I mean love, the truth, no matter what it is. Everybody's got their own version. Everybody wants to be the cafeteria believer and pick and choose. Very few people want the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And yet our founding fathers made it clear that if you don't feel that way, you're not fit to be an American. If you don't feel that way, you're not fit to call yourself a believer. If you're not after the whole truth and nothing but the truth, you are not going to see the kingdom. It's as simple as that. The scripture makes it very, very clear, folks. Anything that offends the Father will not enter the kingdom. Now, those should be scary words to you folks. If you're not worried about that, if you're not thinking about that every single day of your life, I sort of question your standing with the Father. Because to be banned from the kingdom is the worst thing that could happen. What's the scripture say? He who is least in the kingdom is far greater than anybody on the outside of the kingdom. And that includes princes and rulers. And today that would be prime ministers, presidents, etc. So what is it, folks? You gotta make a choice. Choose this day whom ye shall serve, as Joshua said. Who shall you serve? The living God, Yahweh, or Mammon, your materialistic girl, you materialistic hedonists out there? Choose who you're going to serve. Because right now, thanks to the cabal and all their money, they've created a world that looks like you're on the right side because things seem to be going your way. I've got news for you. Yahweh's going to turn that apple cart upside down in the very near future. Doesn't it say in Scripture, Randy, that before Yahweh does a thing, he sends his prophets to warn the people?
Absolutely.
Do you think people have been warning our folks for quite some time now?
It's been a long time. A number of years ago, somebody would make the claim that, you know, one day in the United States of America, we will allow gay marriage. People back then, you know, back in the 20s and 30s, were like, oh, you're crazy. That'll never happen. Well, it's happened, hasn't it?
I can remember.
You know, sometimes, you know, over the years, I've asked myself, man, how much more can this government possibly do to us? Because people will finally just wake up and say, hey, we've had enough. We're not going to take this anymore. And just... it's, you know, the government just keeps, you know, they keep bringing about these things upon us slowly over a period of time, but they just keep on and keep on, and just people keep tolerating.
Yeah,
and, you know, here we are sounding the alarm, and the people just, I mean, you know, here we have the Supreme Court violating the Constitution, the federal Constitution of the United States, and nothing happens to these people. Nothing. And in fact, you got all these mayors and other elected officials saying, well, the Supreme Court has, you know, that's the final ruling. That's what we have to go along with. And of course, they'll say, well, we're not happy, but that's the law now. We've got to follow along with it. Oh, the hell with these people, man. The hell with these people. Who do they think they are to overrule the will of the people? We, in all these states, you know, we voted on the issue. You know, marriage is one man, one woman. This got put into many state constitutions, and a few Supreme Court justices can overrule that? Sound like a dictatorship.
Well, exactly. And here again, the reason...
And Pastor Dan, who are these people on the Supreme Court to overrule what our Creator says what marriage is? Who are these people to say otherwise? Who do they think they are? And who do they think they are to defy the will of the people? Just who do they think they are?
Well, they think they're people that are able to get away with it because we, the people out here, haven't done anything about it. We've been dehorned.
That's why I'm getting to the next point. The scripture warns us and tells us that the Antichrist wants to be like the Most High. He wants to be the lawgiver. Doesn't the Supreme Court of the United States not fit that description of the Antichrist?
Oh, absolutely. Everything in the beast government, and again, governments, I don't care whose government it is, all government is referred to as beasts in the scriptures, because that's what they become. They take on a life of their own, even though they're made up of people, they're made up of individuals, however, collectively, they act as a unit, and it's just like a beast. There's no thought, there's no compassion. It's just like a lion in the jungle. You're not going to get any compassion from him. If he's hungry and he sees you, he's going to devour you. Well, same thing with a government bureaucrat. Do you think they care? There's a story I just read here about an Amish guy, 60-some years old, grandfather. He's got 12 children. I don't know how many grandchildren. And you know what his great big crime is that he was just convicted of? He was putting labels on salves, homemade salves made, and I grew up in Amish country. They've got good old-fashioned stuff that we used it as well, like black salve and different comfrey and black salve and different things like that. This guy was making salves that were helping people. All of it is homemade. All of it is non-invasive. Nobody got hurt. Now, that's the part to remember. Nobody got hurt. The government shut him down because of the labels he was putting on his salves, because of the way he worded it on his labels. Now, he was just convicted. His sentencing, he's going to stay in jail till June. Before he hears what his sentence is. So he's already served a sentence in a way. But if he is given the maximum for everything by some piece of dirt judge, he could get 63 years, which is a death sentence, all because of the wording on his label. And yet these same pieces of dog meat say it's okay to let vaccination companies and pharmaceutical companies, in some cases, be exempt from being sued when they kill you or hurt you. That's okay. But an Amishman selling a few jars of homemade salve that hasn't hurt a damn soul could end up with a sentence of 60. Randy, when real men lived in this world, there would have been torches and pitchforks outside that courthouse, outside the homes of the lawyers involved, outside the home of the judge, and they would have said, if that man isn't set free, you're going to pay a price. Now, they say, oh, that's taking the law in your own hands. Damn right it is, because we're the people, and our ancestors did it, and our founding fathers did it, and even William Blackstone and Scripture says, you must obey God rather than men. That's what Peter says. It's in your Bibles, you so-called believers. Yep. Are you listening?
Absolutely.
Now, you tell me where in the Bible it says it's okay to stand by and let a man be put in prison because of the damn label on his salve when that salve hasn't hurt a damn soul. And yet these same creatures are telling me that they're considering legislation to force vaccines into us, vaccines that are known to cause harm. Randy, if we're not ripe for revolution at this time, then they might as well just come in and annihilate all of us. Because if we're not going to stand up to this kind of tyranny, what's that?
I'm really interested in hearing some more about this. I haven't heard about this. What was on the label?
He labeled it. It was the wording on the label. Now, here again, you got to remember, lawyers and doctors copyright certain words. That's why in the legal profession, right, you can't say certain things. Same thing in the medical profession. And I know because I went to a natural health set of classes, and one of the course taught a class on how to say and write to avoid what happened to this poor Amish farmer. Now, obviously, the Amish farmer didn't attend the same class I did. But you can't use words like cure or treat or client or heal. Okay? Literally, they will sue you for practicing medicine just because you used their terms. All right. Now, first of all, how can the medical profession, or any profession for that matter, claim terms for their own use and nobody else can use it? That's ludicrous. But that's what's in America today.
Don't even the medical field themselves use the word practice? I mean, what does that tell you? I mean, you want to go in there and let them practice on you, Pastor Dave? I don't want no doctor practicing on me.
I stay as far away from hospitals and doctor's offices as I can get. I have a list of naturopaths that I consider my health care providers and myself. All right? I'm not going to go to them. That's just my own personal decision. What other people do is their own business. I mean, trust me. Like I said, I've got family. I've got friends I've had arguments with. They think I'm crazy. I don't really care what they think, to tell you the truth. I know from the time I was a child, I have known that I'm here for a purpose. That is one reason why I don't worry about what the enemy's doing. I have said a long time ago, all I care about is pleasing my Heavenly Father, because I know that if I'm doing what pleases Him, I don't need to worry about these other people. I've known that since I was a boy. Now, some people say, well, that's naive. Well, you call it whatever you want. I know what kind of weapons they've got. I was in the military. I know I've got lots of friends in police departments and friends in the FBI and CIA and special forces. I know a lot of that stuff. But here's the point. So what? Didn't Goliath have the advantage in height and muscle and weaponry over David? Last time I checked, it was Goliath's head that was getting carried around the city while they were dancing and singing. King David, he wasn't king at the time, but he ended up being king. But David had cut Goliath's head off. We're sitting around in fear, Randy, watching our children poisoned, watching our children involved in pedophilia and Pizzagate and the rest of this sick, demented crap going on. We are watching people we say we love destroyed by this beast system, and still we don't do a damn thing about it because we're worried about what they might do to us. So who has the advantage over our fear? Who gains from fear porn being dumped onto the people so that they sit around like Pavlov's dogs and don't do a damn thing to fix what's wrong in this country? Who benefits from that, Randy?
I think it's fair to say at this point that the only way these people are able to remain control over our people, or just people in general, for so long, because, I mean, clearly we outnumber them. And the only way they can keep these shackles on us is through fear and intimidation. I mean, during around tax time, you'll start to see things on the news or read newspaper articles about somebody getting arrested for not paying their fair share. And, you know, people read this stuff, and, oh, I gotta do what they say, man, because I don't want to end up like this poor sucker, you know, going to jail.
Unfortunately, yep. And I keep praying for the Ezekiel 37 army to come alive, because we are in a valley full of dead and dry bones. That is a euphemism for spiritually dead people, Randy. Dead and dry bones. That is a description of spiritually dead people. And that Ezekiel passage talking about Yahweh pouring his spirit out on those dead and dry bones so that they come to life again, it's not talking about bleached bones out in a boneyard somewhere. It's talking about spiritually dead people. And we all know some. Every one of us knows them. They're all around us. We're in a valley of dead and dry bones, spiritually dead people. And praise Yahweh, he's going to pour out his spirit and he's going to awaken them. I'm seeing signs that there is an awakening. I'm seeing signs that some of these spiritually dead people are starting to put on flesh. They're starting to think like a spiritual being. They're starting to consider, what does our Heavenly Father say about this? Why are we worried about a bunch of damn Jews in Washington or in Tallahassee or any other state capital? What the hell do we care what these Jews say? Christ condemned them, and they murdered him for it. Now, those are the people that we should listen to? Answer to that question is no. That'd be the last people you should be listening to. And when Christ said that they do the works of their Father, oh, yeah, they do. Deceivers, liars, murderers, and thieves. Yep, that's what they are.
What kind of people would put his murder, put his blood on their own children's life? I mean, what kind of parent would put that kind of curse on their own children? I mean, what does that say about their character and integrity?
Well, exactly what Christ said. You know, he said to the disciples, there's people here who are condemned already. Well, who do the people think he was talking about? So again, it's pretty plain what Christ was trying to tell us. It's pretty plain what Scripture is trying to tell us. The problem is people can't get through the thick wall of deception and propaganda because they're glued to their electronic devices. Now, stop for a minute. Who do you think put all the money behind the development of long-distance radio, and then the radio stations, and the broadcast stations, and the music studios? Who put their money when television came along and the motion picture industry? Who put their money in all of that? Because they saw the look on the sheep's face when they went into the movie houses. They saw the look on the sheep's face when they used to sit around and listen to the great big radio sitting in the living room. They realized they had a tool to propagandize and confuse and confound the sheep, and they've been doing it ever since. They talk about fake news and misinformation, all that. It's been around from day one. It's time to wake up. I'm going to do a show real soon with one of my relatives who turned me on to a song. If we have time, I want to play it. It's only about 3 minutes long, but it's a beautiful song by a young lady. It's called Come Alive, and it's talking about the bones referred to in Ezekiel chapter 37 that becomes a vast and mighty army. We're going to do a show on that because I think we're close to that time, Randy. I think the Ezekiel 37 army is starting to come together right now. And that's why you see this big push to accomplish all of the endgame stuff as fast as they can, because their time is running out. Hallelujah, Randy.
Well, they're all going to end when they say check me.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
They won't be, once this thing starts, they won't be able to stop it.
Well, the scripture even refers to that, to the fact, besides Obadiah, verse 18 says that a certain group of people are going to be annihilated. It makes reference to the fact that Joseph and Jacob are a flame and a fire. It refers to the punishment and the judgments coming at the latter times of the age is referred to as a fire. So literally a fire? No, sorry, folks. Is it a fire of people who are his battle axes and weapons of war, who have decided that maybe I should obey Yahweh and destroy the wicked? You want peace on this earth, folks? Destroy the wicked. You want to see health come back to our families and our children and good education? Destroy the wicked. You want to see your institutions return to their roots and actually accomplish good things and not all lies and deception and degeneracy? Well, then destroy the wicked. It's really quite that simple. You know, what kills me is these people that go, well, I'm a pious Christian and I wouldn't want to hurt anybody and I sure wouldn't want to be violent. Really? So you're going to let the enemy be violent. You're going to let the enemy kill your children and your brothers and sisters and your aunts and uncles. You're going to let the enemy put poisons in your body, but you're not going to fight? Well, the enemy loves hearing that. What the enemy fears.
Pastor Dan, they're waiting on the rapture, man. The rapture's coming for them.
Well, I got news for them. There ain't no rapture, folks.
So why all? Yeah, please, folks, don't believe that. I think the rapture seems to be real popular among, you know, Baptist people. I tell you, man, they're all going to be waiting around for a rapture, Pastor Daniel, and people like us, we're going to be out there fighting the enemy, saying, you know, hey, come on, Baptists, come fight with us. No, they're going to be like, no, we're waiting on the rapture. And, you know, there's going to be shots being fired. The enemy's going to be slaughtering these people, and they're going to be so busy waiting on the rapture, which ain't coming, and we're going to be out there fighting the enemy, man. Yeah, there ain't going to be no rapture. It ain't coming. Come on, look, folks. It's like this. It's bloody. I mean, we can just sit here and talk about the American Revolution, how bloody it was. It was a bloody war. Did the rapture come and save any of our founding fathers? No. Why do we think we're so special and we're going to be taken out of here? It ain't happening, folks. You ain't getting off this earth that easy. You're going to be fighting.
Well, that's the whole point, Randy.
Yahweh did not put us on this earth so when things got bad, he could just come snatch us away. We're here to fight the enemy. That's what we're here for.
Well, there's an old saying that says that evil prevails when good men do nothing. You want to sit around and bellyache about all the evil. People do it every day. But when are we going to get together and do something about it? The solutions are actually very, very simple. The enemy has identified themselves, just as Christ said at the time of the wheat and the tares. At the harvest time, the tares would identify themselves. I got news for you, folks. The tares are identifying themselves every day on television and in the movies and on the radio and in private life and in public and in their speeches and in their celebrations and their parties. They are identifying themselves. The tares are easy to find. Yahweh said once he identifies them, then it's time to put the sickle to the harvest. Then it's time for the man with the inkhorn and the swordsman behind him to identify those to be executed. You know, everybody says, oh, well, I don't like all that violent talk, you know. Well, you know, I consider 50 million babies butchered in the mother's womb. I consider that pretty damn violent. I consider the thousands upon thousands of children trapped in the pedophilia and Pizzagate rings. I kind of consider that kind of bad too, Randy. So when people tell me, oh, you shouldn't talk about all that violence. Well, I got news for you. I think it's necessary because Yahweh has said it's necessary. If people want to do wicked, evil things, they need to know that Yahweh's people don't bear the sword in vain. We're coming after you.
Well, didn't our father destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? I mean, that's might be considered by the government to be an act of terrorism on Yahweh's part. I mean, Yahweh should... You know, according to our government, y'all should have been tolerant and just had love in your heart.
Well, I do. I have love for the people that are doing the right thing. I have love for my family members right. Who are doing the right thing. I have love for everybody doing the right things, which means obeying the Father. People that are doing the right thing, I don't care what race they are. I don't care what their station in life is. If they're honest, if they're righteous, if they're Radamanthine, if they're trying to do the best thing, then I would give the shirt off my back to them. And I might even lay my life down for them. But if you're evil, if you're wicked, then I want to hunt you down and to destroy you completely, utterly destroy you. That's what my ancestors did. That's what the greatest men of the Bible did. That's what even Christ said he was going to do. He's coming back to earth with what? A vesture dipped in blood. He's coming back on a charger for war, a horse, a white horse. And he also is coming at the head of a heavenly host. Does that sound like pacifism to you, Randy?
Well, he's coming back to some big button, take some names.
What do you think Christ is going to do as commander when he walks up to a group of these pansies out here called Judeo-Christians and they said, well, we brought Bibles to all the Jews that are massacring the Palestinians. We tried to tell them about John 3:16. Do you think Christ's going to have very kind words for them? I guarantee you he's not going to have kind words. He's going to say, you called me Lord, but you... I never knew. Get away from me. Just because you carry a Bible, just because you go to church, just because you pray, doesn't make you one of his. If you're not willing to fight, then you're just like the salt that has lost its savor. Scripture says what, Randy? That salt's good for nothing but to be put under the feet of men. Isn't that what it says? Well, Christians?
Yeah, you know, people like that aren't going to matter anyways. When the dust settles, they won't even be around to have an opinion anyways. They'll be done.
They are the sheep being led to the slaughter by the preachers behind the pulpits preaching the lies of Satan's kids. That's who they are. I feel sorry for them. I really do. But if they won't wake up, if they won't listen, if they don't love the truth, and if they're not willing to be soldiers for Christ, well, then I guess I got to do what the Savior said he's going to do. Just let them go. Depart from me, because I never knew you. I say the same thing to any white man out there that's not willing to fight for our race. Depart from me. I never knew you. You're not willing to fight for your own family? You're not willing to fight for righteousness' sake? You're not willing to fight to get rid of this sick, demented world we got around us? You're not willing to fight for that? Then get away from me. I don't want you anywhere near my foxhole.
I'm telling you, Pastor, I tell you what really, really disturbs me is people claiming to fight for our race, but all they do is line their pockets full of money. You know, it's like they're, you know, they say all the right things, but they're in it to make money. Man, it's sickening, man. It's really sickening.
Well, amen to that. I don't know. I want to play this song. I guess I'll wait till the end. I guess I need about 5 minutes at the end to play this song. But it's a beautiful song. You won't be able to hear it, Randy. I don't have the means to let you hear it. So I'll just wait to the end when you get off, and then I'll play it for the listening audience. But again, the young lady, the words of the song, it's pretty. It's motivating. And again, that's why my guest that I'm going to have on in the very near future wants to come on. And based on the words of that song, we're going to go into the title of the song is Come Alive, meaning the Valley of Dead and Dry Bones must come alive. It's time. No more sitting around. No more pussyfooting around. It's time to be men. And you ladies, there's nothing wrong with you ladies, but the fighting is in the man's hands, all right? It's up to us men. You support us. You provide logistics and bandages and food and medicine and help keep us up to do the fighting, but the fighting itself belongs to us. That's our job. So the men need to start thinking like men again. And some of you ladies, I hate to tell you this, you might not like it when your man learns how to be a man again. Because some of our men have thought it was their God-given duty to just placate their wives and their children, and that's not a man's duty. A man's duty is to obey our Heavenly Father, number one. And number two, he is a band of brothers. He's part of a very, very unique band of brothers, white men who love righteousness and are willing to fight for a just cause. That's a higher calling, folks, much higher calling. And then after that, he can tend to his family's needs. Because if we fail, men, what do you think's going to happen to your family? So if you're worried about your family, you better be linking up with real men and start figuring out what we men are going to do about the situation. What do you think, Randy?
Totally agree.
Well, we're getting real close to the end, Randy, so I'm going to go ahead and ask you for any closing comments.
Prepare for war, brothers and sisters. Don't be so quick to hand over your money to organizations that are claiming to fight for our people. If you haven't fully prepared yourself and your own family for war, that's what you need to be concentrating yourself on. Being able to protect yourself, don't rely on others.
Yeah, amen to that. Amen to that. All right, Randy, I'm going to let you go. I thank you for calling in and being a part of this. And, you know, bless your heart. I pray Yahweh give you a very special blessing. I know you are a Rhadamanthine warrior, and you've done quite a bit of stuff, oftentimes without much help from what I've seen. So you are definitely one of the cream of the crop, and I ask a special blessing upon you.
Praise Yahweh, death to the New World Order.
Praise Yahweh. Take care, Randy. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, and again, that was Randy in Michigan. I hope it the audio signal and all was good enough for you. But there is chaos everywhere. There is chaos everywhere. And it's because we have lost the ability to think straight. We're allowing outside influences to take us away from what we know to be true. Remember what Christ told us? The reason why we were in so much trouble? He said, because you forgot your first love. What do you think he meant by that? You forgot your first love. According to the Ten Commandments and according to the words of Christ himself, what's our first love, people? Money? Power? jobs, big homes, cars, children? What? What's your first love? What do you think our Father was telling you? Things are going to get quite unusual in the near future. It's all coming together. And it's not all bad, folks. I know we talk about the bad a lot. We talk about what the evil people are doing because it's very frustrating. It really is. It's very, very frustrating. And we're trying desperately to wake people up. But we cannot allow ourselves to focus only on the negative. We are the overcomers. You and I. And how do we do that? Because we work as a team. We have each other's back. And yes, Father has us separated by time and distance at times, like salt, for a reason. And I believe there's two reasons. One, so we have more an effect, just like salt does on a piece of meat. And number two, for our protection. But he said, when the time is right, he will bring his sons and daughters together from the four corners of the earth. He will put sinew and flesh and muscle on dead and dry bones. He is going to raise up an army. An army doesn't try to placate its enemy. An army works to destroy his enemy. And I'm looking forward to that day. Hallelujah. I'm looking forward when I will stand amongst thousands, just like Randy, just like Mike in Dallas, just like Dan in Georgia, just like Paul in England, and Eli in Chicago, and Andrew, and Michael in France, and Alex in Chile and Mexico. A band of brothers. Patrick, I didn't forget about you. And Jim, down there in the south. And Lane. And many, many others. Far too many for me to try to name them all. I've been blessed to know some of the very best. Men that I would take to the field with, without even hesitating. The day is coming, folks. Prepare for it, mentally and spiritually and physically. I'm going to try to find out some more about those two state representatives in the state of South Carolina that are going to try to form Christian communities. Their goal is to put 1 million believers in the state of South Carolina in self-sufficient communities. 1 million in just that one state. I think that's a worthy goal. I'll try to get some more and tell you about that later. But in the meantime, we're going to close up the program with a short prayer and then a song. And again, the name of this song is Come Alive by Lauren Daigle. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be together and share with our brothers and sisters. And we just pray your words would reach the ears that are meant to. We pray that these words will not only energize, but also comfort and soothe and invigorate our people. We're not the losers. We are the overcomers. We're not the victims. We are the destroyers. We are the ones that these people fear the most. We should never, ever forget that. Don't let us forget that, Father. Guide us by thy Holy Spirit. Forgive us our sins, Father. Help us to overcome those and to become the men and women that you want us to be. and protect us from our enemies. And we pray for your coming to be soon. We ask this all in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.
Through the eyes of men, it seems there's so much we have lost. As we look down the road where all the prodigals have walked, one by one, the enemy is whispered lies and led them off as slaves. But we know that you are God, yours is the victory. We know there is more to come that we may not yet see. God of unrelenting love, rescue every daughter, bring us back the wayward sons, and by your spirit breathe upon them, show the world that you alone can save, you alone can save. As we call out to dry bones, come alive, come alive. We call of God, now breathe, oh breath of God, breathe, oh breath of God, now breathe.